And this is kind of like a Mother's Day gift to Stephanie. I don't even know where where did she go? She's like, she's out. I came on staff here at Battleground Church, Bible Church in 2003 and served under Kenny and you guys till 2011. The reason I wasn't able to date, the true story, is that I wasn't able to date because under the Star Wars analogy, Kenny was the Jedi Master and I was just a Padawan and I was worked to death. I didn't have any time to date. Yeah. So I hope I've graduated up. It was a privilege to serve here at Battleground as a pastor, but now it's even a privilege to serve as your missionary sent out from you the past seven years now. And even this past year since we've been home, you guys have ministered to us and blessed us in ways that you'll never know this side of heaven. So thank you. For those of you who have been encouragement to us and lifted up our arms in a difficult season. So again, happy Mother's Day. I know for some here, Mother's Day is bittersweet. This is not a Mother's Day message, but since it is Mother's Day, I know for some of you it's bittersweet because maybe your mother's not with you anymore, or maybe there's a relationship that you wish you had with your mother. Or even your children, you wish you had a different relationship than you have. And so as we come to Mother's Day, maybe it has a little bit of a heaviness to you, or for those of you who are mothers, or those of you who have mothers. But is there a burden that you're bearing today? A hurt from home? A relationship with some strain? A conflict that you have with somebody that's close to you? The truth is, at church, we can bring these to the Lord now, right? We can come before God of heaven, come before his throne, and bring these types of burdens to him. Church is a place where we can bear one another's burdens and be refreshed by Christ and be refreshed by one another. Let's go before the throne. God, as we come before you, we realize that we come before you as Father. We can call you Abba, a unique relationship that we can have with you. God, we know that you are dependable, you're forgiving, you're loving, you're kind, you're good, you're holy, you're just. And God, we come before you because we need you this morning. We come with maybe burdens or strains or conflicts, and we bring those before you at your feet. Maybe we've done that often for weeks and weeks and months and years. We've bring those same burdens before you and ask God that you would carry them. And God, we believe that when you say, come, you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. We believe that's a promise that you offer to us even this morning. So God, here we are. And here we are with all we have. And we bring it before you. We ask, God, that you'd meet us and restore us and sustain us and lift us and encourage us and challenge us and work within us the only work that you can do by your Spirit. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Have you ever considered how a short note or a text message or an email can have a lasting impact on the person that you write it to? I've got a little note in my Bible from somebody that had written a note of encouragement. I've kept it in there for years because of what depth it's offered to my soul. That's what we get when we come to the letter of Philemon. It's like Paul's text message to us, to Philemon. This week and the next few weeks, we're going to look and peek into one of the most personal letters that Paul has ever wrote to the letter or to the person, Philemon. Of all Paul's letters, Philemon's the shortest he wrote. 25 verses, 335 words to be exact. Philemon sits at the end of Paul's 13 letters that are organized from longest to shortest. The longer letters were written to churches like Rome or Corinth or Colossae. The shorter ones were written more pastoral and personal, and they were written to specific people like Timothy and Titus and Philemon. What I would like to do this morning is just read the letter in its entirety. In fact, probably the next 3 weeks, we'll read the letter in its entirety. This week, I'll read it from the English Standard Version, but the next few weeks, we'll read it from a different translation just to get a different flavor for it. But as I read, would you stand? Philemon 1, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that's in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you, my child, for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but by your own free will. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that through your prayers, I'll be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. May God bless his word in your ears. You may be seated. I think it's fair to say that in Paul's greeting to Philemon, we see things that we're used to seeing in Paul's greetings. We're used to seeing Paul's name at the beginning of the letter. That's how we often write our name at the end of the letter, right? But in the first century, they would often put it at the beginning of the letter. We're used to seeing Paul include Timothy. Five of his 13 letters, Paul would include Timothy. They were like the best of friends. They were like the Jedi Master and Padawan relationship, but it had morphed into more than that. Probably 10 years earlier than this letter, Paul and Timothy had met Philemon in Ephesus, where he came to Christ under Paul's ministry. We're also used to seeing Paul write from prison. Likely he's writing from Rome. Some would say he's writing from Ephesus, but there's good reason why I would say he's writing from Rome. It's where he also wrote the letters to Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae. We are used to seeing in Paul's greetings a network of names to whom the letter is addressed. We'll get to some of those names in a moment. And we're used to seeing Paul's trademark greeting, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 13 of 13 letters, Paul has coined that phrase. You could really spend a few messages just on that little phrase because of all the theology that's packed in that little coin. So Paul addresses this letter to whom? To Philemon, who lived in the city of Colossae, which is where we also get the letter to the Colossians. Colossae is in modern-day Turkey. We don't know a lot about Philemon, but with a little detective work, we find out that he was likely a wealthy businessman, maybe making some money off of the black sheep that were common to that region. But we know that he was wealthy because of the size of his home. He was able to have a large home fellowship within his house. And he had at least one servant. Philemon likely funded part of Paul's missionary journeys. Paul refers to his generosity, his hospitality, and his great reputation. Philemon is just a good guy that shares his wealth and shares his faith. But the relationship went deeper than just money for them. Paul considered Philemon a good friend, and he refers to him as a beloved fellow worker, a spiritual son in verse 19. Paul gushes over Philemon like a sappy dad, like a sappy spiritual dad who's really proud of his son and what he's become in the faith. Paul also goes on to mention Apphia, our sister, which was likely Philemon's wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, which was likely Philemon's son and the pastor teacher of the church that was in Philemon's home. Paul seems to know them both all very well because he also mentions them in the letter to Colossians. Philemon has this church family church thing going on in his house. Paul doesn't seem to roll his eyes or be concerned about it. In fact, he seems to be pretty happy about it. I mean, what's not to love about a mama and a daddy and their son following Christ and serving together in the church, right? Although the letter was addressed to Philemon, the bulk of this letter is about Onesimus. Onesimus, we don't know much about him, just like we don't know much about Philemon. But what we do know is that he was a servant of Philemon. He worked in Philemon's house. He was a slave. He committed some type of crime while living under Philemon's house and boogied out of there. Either he miraculously ended up in the same prison with Paul in Rome, which could happen by God's providence. Stranger things have happened. But likely, Onesimus ran to find Paul because he knew Paul could help him. Paul is in prison in Rome. He's in prison because he's been preaching the gospel. But Paul's not stifled by his circumstances. In fact, he's now preaching to a captive audience. He's there, as he's preaching, Onesimus hears, is encouraged, and comes to faith himself, and Paul has the opportunity to disciple him within the walls of the prison. As Paul learns Onesimus' story, he encourages him to go back and make things right with Philemon. So he sends him on his way. Probably sends him with Tychicus, who takes the letter of Colossians. And they walk that 1,000 miles, or take a boat, or take a cart and horse, and they walk that 1,000 miles from Rome to Colossae. It was risky. Paul knew that he might have been sending Onesimus to his death sentence. A runaway slave could have been hung or crucified. But he also knew the kind of man that Philemon was. But can you imagine? Can you imagine being Onesimus on that road? Going from prison to Colossae. Can you feel the fear? The guilt? The shame? Could you imagine being Philemon on the other end? Maybe answering the door or coming home from a business trip and seeing Onesimus there in the living space. The anger. The betrayal. The confusion. This is not just a letter or a story. This is true life. This is reality. This is a visual of how the gospel affects relationships. The beauty of this letter that we look at right here in our Bibles is that it's true. It's a true story. It wasn't burned. It wasn't thrown out. It wasn't put in a shredder. But it was framed for all the church to see for all time. It may be the shortest of Paul's letters, but it's one of the most personal, simple, gentle, purposeful, and powerful letters that you'll ever read. As one commentator says, it's infinitely precious. And I would say it takes the theology that we've been studying in Romans and puts it to the street. The letter's exactly what you think it'd be if you were listening in on the conversation between close friends. I'm sure that you've been there. You stepped into the conversation, right? Between two people, only to realize that what you're hearing didn't make sense because you missed part of the context. The letter to Philemon at first glance might seem like that until you slow down and start to hear what's actually being said. The reason we're taking 3 weeks to look at this, because we could take a long view, we could look through the window, but I think there's a value to going up to the window and peering through the glass, up at the glass, your nose touching the glass. Even from the opening part of this letter, we learn a lot about Paul, about Philemon, about Philemon's servant, and about the church. The opening is really a prayer. This morning, we're just going to spend our time in the first 7 verses, which is really just the greeting part of the letter. As we see, it's going to get even more personal as each week goes. The prayer from here, we learn that of God's concern for healthy relationships within the church family and how the church is called to do life together as we take the gospel into the world in which we're called. For Paul, the gospel is not just something to think about. It's to be acted upon. It's what brings us together with Christ and with each other. For us, the church, there's a lot of great application here in Philemon. So this morning, we just really have 2 points. You're going to see that they're kind of cyclical. The first is this, we get out of verses 4 and 5, that refreshed people are refreshed by Christ. That word refresh or refreshed or rest appears a few times in the letter to Philemon. Let's look back at verses 4 and 5. Paul says and writes, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints." Paul is refreshed by Philemon. Why? From what Paul knows about Philemon, from the first time they met until now, and from what he hears others say about Philemon, this is in the present tense, what he's heard, likely what he's heard from Onesimus himself. Paul sees the visible characteristics of Christ oozing and spilling out and pouring out of Philemon. He sees Philemon's faith in Jesus and his love for others. Isn't that a great compliment? Think of the alternative. Do you know anyone like this? I hope you do. Are you someone like this? I know some of you are. Some of you are Philemons, one who brings joy and comfort and love and refreshment to others around you because of your willingness to encourage people and to be there to ease their burdens. That's what you do. It brings you joy and it brings us joy because of your help. You show us the heart of Christ often when we need to see it the most. You point us to Jesus, not our problems. You renew our faith in God and revive our weary souls. And we smile when we think about you. Through you, we are refreshed. Do you know anyone like that? I do. The last three springs, our families had the privilege of going to England to just take a time to reprieve. And we would go to the English countryside, enjoy the beach down in, near Brighton, and just enjoy it from living life in the Sahara Desert, being in cold, rainy, green England. It was wonderful. One of the joys of going there is being able to hang out with some of my friends, Brad and Megan Franklin, who are living and serving in London area, Highbury, London area. Brad and I went to seminary together and studied together for 3 years. And part of the joy of going to England is being able to spend some time with this family and be refreshed by them. And they have. I remember even going in their house and getting a cold glass of whole milk. I don't know, but in Chad, all we have is this powdered milk, and it's just disgusting. But going to England, being a Wisconsin boy, being able to taste, I can even taste it now, that whole milk, fridge cold. We ordered some Indian takeout from the wonderful Indian restaurants that are there in London. We'd walk around some of those green spaces. We'd attend the Franklin's Church and just be blessed and be prayed over. Back before Christmas, Megan fell, and she went into the hospital with a brain injury, which turned into a brain disease, which shortly after Christmas took her life. She was also pregnant, and she delivered a little baby boy. But even in her death, we're still refreshed. I don't know what it's like today for Brad and his family on Mother's Day, as he's got to take care of 7 kids. But even in her death, we were refreshed. We were among 3 missionary families that were gifted through her life. Felt unworthy, but honored and thankful. What would the person next to you say are the visible characteristics that are pouring out from you? Can you imagine the encouragement it would be for someone to share that with them? Maybe that'd be an immediate application from this morning's text, is that you would look at the person next to you in church and say, I see Christ in you like this. And not just keep it within you, but tell them. Tell them how you've been refreshed through them or how you've seen Christ oozing from them. There are 2 types of people in the church that Paul most often addresses in his letters. The first are people who build up. They're the kind of people who encourage, like Philemon. They see the good, they speak the truth in love, they have a knack for pointing you back to Christ. Paul's letter to Philemon helps us see what building up one another really looks like. Building up in the church is something that never stops until Jesus comes, because we are like in a relational construction zone here. The second type of people are those who tear down. They're the kind of people who look for ways to cut others down. They're quick to complain. They find faults and failures in others. They're the kind of person you avoid when you need encouragement, but they're the kind of person you are gravitated to when you need empathy with your own critical spirit. Tearing down others is not a strength. It's not a spiritual gift. It's hurtful. It's divisive. It's from Satan. You can't punch a hole in the bricks of God's house without being hurt yourself. How many people have you seen or have been hurt trying to damage the building that they are part of them, part of themselves? Paul spent a lot of breath in his letters airing out about bad theology in the church. He spent a lot of air talking about conflict among members. You just read the letter of Corinthians. He spent a lot of time talking about wolves among the sheep, but Philemon is not that kind of letter. It's not about wolves, but it's about encouraging sheep. Martin Luther, a man acquainted with both wolves and sheep, says this: fight vigorously against wolves, but on behalf of the sheep, not against the sheep. In other words, don't be a flock of sheep fighting sheep. Sheep don't fight. If you order a pay-per-view fight of sheep fighting sheep, you're going to be sorely disappointed and want your money back, because sheep are gregarious. They don't fight. They band together and protect one another from wolves. Oh, how the church needs Philemons. People who are known for their love and faith towards Jesus and others. And the church needs Pauls, ones who see those who are reflecting Christ. You may recognize the name William Wilberforce. Wilberforce was a Christian politician. Might seem like an oxymoron, right? But how politicians need to be Christian and influence in that arena. He made it his life work in Great Britain to abolish slavery. It was an impossible task, and he was young and at the beginning of his career, but on the other side of the pond here in America, there was a man by the name of John Wesley, who Pastor Kenny loves. I know. He was near the end of his career, and Wesley heard, though, on the other side of the pond there in Britain, there was this young man by the name of William Wilberforce who was struggling, and he wrote him a letter. The truth is, this letter was written 6 days before. He wrote this penned letter 6 days before his own death. So imagine the post going across by ship, and William Wilberforce receiving this in the king's mail, the king's post. He was literally receiving a dead man's mail. This is what he said: unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you'll be worn out by opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might, till even American slavery, the vilest that has ever seen the sun, shall vanish away before it. That is, that he who guided you from youth up may continue to strengthen you in this and all things, is the prayer of, dear sir, your affectionate servant, John Wesley. See, John Wesley had the right words at the right time to help his younger brother on the right path. It's like Proverbs 25:11 being lived out right before our eyes, which says, the right word at the right time is like custom-made jewelry. Or as other translations say, golden apples in a silver bowl. It's just like wealth upon wealth. Paul had the right words at the right time to help Philemon on the right path. He focused on Christ's refreshing work in Philemon. You notice that? Christ's refreshing work in Philemon, which would be the very character that Philemon would need as he sees Onesimus in front of him now. Refreshed people are refreshed by Christ. You hear that? Refreshed people are refreshed by Christ. But as we'll see here in verses 6 and 7, you are refreshed to refresh others. You see the cyclicalness of this? That we are refreshed by Christ to refresh others who refresh us in Christ. Paul goes on in verse 6. He says, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that's in us for Christ, for the sake of Christ. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So in return for being refreshed by Christ and Philemon, Paul asks God to refresh Philemon. Specifically, that God would refresh Philemon by making his knowledge of all the things that he has in Christ full. Paul is asking that God would give Philemon more of Christ. What a prayer. It's a powerful prayer for Philemon, who will be asked to show his partnership with not just his friend Paul, but now with his runaway slave who betrayed him, who's now his little brother in Christ. Now, you will only refresh others with the capacity that you've been refreshed by Christ yourself. Think of yourself like a little cup. Think of yourself like that little cup under that drop there. We are limited in capacity to be refreshed by ourselves or even by others. We need refreshment outside of ourselves that comes from Christ. But we can only contain so much before it spills over, right? So how do we spill over and encourage others? We need to be refreshed and continue to be refreshed by Christ. And you will only refresh others with the capacity that you yourself have been refreshed by Christ. Christ refreshes so that you can refresh others, and so that others will then want to be refreshed in Christ themselves and then refresh you through the refreshment that they have in Christ. Only Christ can bring that level of fullness to your relationships, especially hard ones, fractured ones, strenuous ones, even in the church, especially in the church. And here there are really two important implications for the church, for you, the church. First, you cannot truly love Christ if you do not love his church. You hear that? You cannot love Christ if you do not love his church. Christ and his church are two separate things, but really they're the same thing. They're separate things in that the love for Christ and love for the church are two different loves. They're the same thing in that the love for Christ leads us to a deeper love for the church. The more you seek to love Christ, the more you'll find your heart growing to love the very things that Christ loves. What does Christ love the most? What does Christ love the most? His glory, the glory of the Father. I mean, you guys have been in Battleground Bible Church for a while. That should be like off the top of your tongue. In what way does Christ display his glory among the nations? Through the church. Therefore, the more you grow in love for Christ, the more you will grow in love for his church. More so, Christ and his church are intimately connected so that if you turn away from one, you're inevitably turning away from the other. God placed this twofold love in the heart of Philemon and Paul, and Paul loved it. And thank God for it. What do you love about the church? What do you love about this church? Do you feel a love and respect and a yearning to be in it, to be used by it, to grow it? Do you want to see its influence spread? The second implication for us as a church is that a love for the church equates to a love for those in the church. A love for the church equates to a love for those in the church. Philemon was just not a spectator or a tender of the church. Rather, he was an active and effective member of it. He touched lives. He inspired faith. He refreshed others. He comforted people with his love. Where did that kind of love come from? It came from Christ. Paul saw the gospel of Christ pouring into him and flowing through him to others. As wise King Solomon said, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The idea of the word behind refreshed here that we see so often in the word Philemon and even throughout Scripture, we get the essence of it in Matthew chapter 11, 28. Remember when Jesus says, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is the same word that Philemon is using here. But we have the English translation of being refreshed. In other words, I will give you a vacation from your burdens. Jesus says, if you come to me with your burdens and your weariness, and I will give you rest, I will give you a vacation from that. I will take what is burdening you in that work and take it. But what if I'm not feeling it? What if I'm not feeling refreshed? What if I feel discouraged? What if I feel bruised and hurt and drained? First, we must acknowledge that the source of all refreshment is Christ Himself. The source of refreshment and our being in rest is Christ Himself. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. He is our refreshment. He is the river that never stops flowing. He is the powerful waterfall of refreshment that is never ending, always giving. Refreshment begins with Christ. Sit at His feet. Listen to Him speak. Immerse yourself in the Gospels. And let it wash over you. Let His refreshment spill and ripple over you. But also, allow gratitude to remove the plug in the dam. The plug in the dam that often fear or anger or shame puts there. Paul purposefully began his letter with giving thanks. That's on purpose. He could have began his letter in many different ways, but he decided as he's talking to his little brother Philemon that he begins with giving thanks for him and giving thanks for the Christ that he sees in him. That's on purpose. Because gratitude opens the floodgates of refreshment. It's really good to look, as we read through the letter of Philemon in the next few weeks, to look at the sister letter of Colossians, because Colossians really unfolds and explains a lot what we see in Philemon. In fact, it repeats a lot because they were delivered at the same time. They were spoken in the same church, probably by Philemon's son. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Actually, verse 11. He says, here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. But notice what he says as he just told them to put off certain things as they follow Christ. He's telling them to put on certain things as they follow Christ. In verse 12, he says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. But above all things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God our Father through Him. This gratitude removes the plug in the dam and it lets the floodgates come. Likely, the Spirit of God has put someone on your mind this morning. A relationship that needs building up. Maybe you should write them a letter. Tell them how you've been refreshed through Christ or through them. Then mail it. Maybe better yet, deliver it. Not only do we need to acknowledge that Christ is the source of our refreshment and gratitude removes the plug in the dam, but being an active member of the church is also important too. When it comes to the church, we're all bricks, right? We're all bricks. The Bible says that we come from the pit of dirt and clay. No brick exalts itself above another because we all know where we come from. We all know we come from the pit. And it's only by God's grace that he builds those bricks into something wonderful and beautiful called the church. Relationships are messy, but it's a mess worth making. Let's look at the church as Jesus does, as a beautiful bride. See, he sees the finished project. We see it under construction. We see the project in motion, in progress. And it's not always pretty. But Jesus sees it in all of his glory. This love that Paul is celebrating in the life of Philemon isn't an abstract love. It's not something that's vanishing in the culture that we live in. In fact, it's just the opposite. The church stands out in contrast. Its love is demonstrated and lived out by people like you. People who do what Christ commands them to do. To love others in a way that Christ has loved you. And the greatest sign of this love is the fact that Jesus gave up his life on behalf of others. This is love. It's messy, sacrificial love. It is love that caused Jesus to take on flesh and to die in our place. Love that was bleeding and broken and rejected and crucified. That love was messy. But that love, as we're going to see as we unfold the book of Philemon, is what gives us the motivation to forgive and be forgiven, and it gives us the motivation to be restored, not only with Christ, but with one another. The gospel gets real in relationships. Philemon gets real about relationships. Paul knows the gospel of Christ will impact the world, the church at Colossae, and his little brother Onesimus. And Paul says, Philemon, you've got all these great characteristics in Christ. Now act upon it. Act upon the gospel that you have within you with your new brother, Onesimus. We'll look at more of that next week. But I got to think that this morning there's some of us that need to be refreshed by Christ. We need to allow him to wash over us. We need to spend some time sitting under that waterfall and allowing him to shower us. And then allow that refreshment, that full cup, to spill over and ripple over into those that are around us, that are among us, that are with us, that sit beside us for Christ. I want to read Philemon 4 through 7 as a prayer over you this morning. This is your benediction. This is your charge. This is your take it in heart and run with it. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith, may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that's in us for the sake of Christ. For I've derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brothers and sisters, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So God, our Father, we come before you and we ask, and I ask on behalf of others who are desiring that refreshment for themselves, that you would pour yourself out among them, that they would sense your closeness and refreshment, that they would wash themselves over with the words of Christ this week, that they would hear his words and love his words and dwell among those words, live among those words. And God, that you would use that refreshment as a means to refresh others around them that are needing it, maybe needing it a lot. So God, we see that we can't refresh others unless we've been refreshed by Christ ourselves. So wash over us, Spirit of Christ. Empower us to be vessels of refreshment to others, so that even we can do the hard things of seeking forgiveness or restoration that we'll talk about in the weeks to come. For the glory and name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Padawan. You can all rise. As we sing, God's all.
Praise God. From whom all blessings flow.
Praise
him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Praise
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.